Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want to read just a couple of scriptures to you here in your hearing before we begin to study the Word of the Lord. It feels a little better tonight than it did last Sunday. I think I lost 4 pounds preaching last Sunday. All the sweating I did, but tonight's going to be a little better. In Ephesians chapter 5 and then Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians 5 verse number 8. The Bible says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So the Bible says very clearly here that we are saved by grace, and the way that we're saved is through faith. Everybody say faith. Through faith. And then in Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you," or this is all I have to ask you, "received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So let me make that plain. Paul said, hey guys, wake up. Did you receive the Holy Ghost because you obeyed the law? Or did you receive the Holy Ghost because you heard by faith? And it says here, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Skip down to verse 5. It says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" The one that's ministering in the Spirit, the one that's working miracles, is he doing it because of the works of the law, or is he doing it by faith? "Even as Abraham believed God, and believing God was accounted to him for righteousness. Even know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And tonight, for just a few moments before we leave here, we want to speak, linking up to last week's sermon. We talked about back to the basics, and we want to continue with back to the basics tonight, with a focus and emphasis on faith. Heavenly Father, thank you for these that have gathered to worship you. We're believers here tonight. That's why we came. And so, Lord, let the basics, the fundamentals of your word be established in our spirit, so that the power of the Holy Ghost can operate through us. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Last Sunday, we shared with you a little bit about, you may be seated, I'm sorry, a little bit about Vince Lombardi. It's my new glasses, it's my new prescription. How about this? I'm a running back. Just do a handoff. How about that? There we go. So Vince Lombardi, who is universally accepted, one of the greatest, if not the greatest coach of all times, after his team was playing poorly, he came into the locker room and told all of the football players who had been playing football all their life and they're waiting to get chewed out. But instead, he came and he lifted up a football and made the famous saying, "Gentlemen, this is a football." He'd been hired to turn around a terrible team. And the message to them that day, as he began to say, "This is how many feet across a football field is. This is how deep it is. You score by going across the goal line. If you score, you get 6 points." He was saying things that every young man on that team already had known for years. But his point was this: we're going to get back to the basics. We're going back to the fundamentals. And the winning tradition of the Green Bay Packers, where they won 5 world championships, was focused on their focusing on the basics. And Lombardi demanded perfection in the area of fundamentals. Last week we said that as a new Christian, we must learn the fundamentals of following Jesus. And those of us that have been Christians for a while, we have a tendency to drift away from the simplicity and the fundamentals of following Jesus and find ourselves entangled with complexity. So we have to be reminded of the fundamentals. And I believe that God is calling us as a church in 2020 to get back to the basics. There are a lot of churches that focus on the ability to attract a crowd because of all of the things that they do well: music, buildings, programs, personality, so on and so forth. But tonight here under the tent, we want to remind you that God works and we can win, and the church can do what it was called to do if it will get back to the basics of following Jesus and get back to the biblical basics of what we've been called to do and how we ought to do it. Amen? And in Psalm 11 and 3, we shared last week, the Bible says this: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we lose the power and the stability and the understanding of the foundation, then what we're building will be suspect. And so we held up the football last week. We didn't have a football, but Lombardi said, gentlemen, this is a football. Last week we said, gentlemen and ladies, this is the gospel. And tonight I want to share with you about faith and say, this is faith. Now, as we looked at the passages of Scripture, it simply says that we are saved by faith, not by works. It's what Jesus did on the cross that saves us. It's the power of the gospel that saves us. But the pathway that you and I access salvation is not through accomplishment, effort, or good works, but it's through faith or believing in God. As we look at the passage of Scripture in Galatians there, the backstory is there were new believers that were coming into the church. And these were not, many of them, raised according to the Jewish tradition. And some in the church felt like these Gentiles coming into the church need to have the ceremonial law of Judaism imposed upon the new believers as part of their salvation. And the Apostle Paul was indignant. He said, you've got to understand that you are not saved by the works of the law, but you are saved by faith. And so he asked them a question. He said, those of you that are starting to believe and teach that a person has to obey the ceremonial Old Testament law in order to be saved, my question is this: when you received the Holy Ghost, did you receive it because of what you did and all of the laws that you obeyed, or did you receive it by faith? I got the same question for you today. When you received the Holy Ghost, did you receive it because of certain things that you did? Or did you receive the Spirit because you believed that the promise of God was true, that it was for you, and that you could receive it? Amen? And then he asked the second question. The person that's ministering among you, the man or the woman who is ministering in the Spirit, the person that God is using to work miracles among you, are they doing those miracles by the work of the law? Or are they doing them by faith and through the Spirit? And of course, you and I know the answer, that the miracles don't happen through works of the law or through human effort or because somebody's a good person, but they happen through faith, through believing in God, and through the power of the Spirit. And so just to clarify, to break it down for you, when we talk about, when the Bible is speaking of works or the works of the law, and a lot of you are like, well, what's the works of the law? What does that mean? Let me make it simple for you. You guys listening? The works of the law are this: human effort to satisfy God's expectations. Narrow it down. Human effort. My effort and your effort would be the works of the law. And I've heard it said before, and I've probably said it, I've probably preached it, that the opposite of faith is fear. But I think biblically what is more correct is that the opposite of faith is human effort. The opposite of faith is human effort. Fear is an emotion that you experience when you trust yourself. It's an emotion that pours out of acting out of human effort. But the opposite of faith is human effort. And we've shared with you before, and I really, really believe this, that when I put confidence in my own effort, and when I begin to believe that I am self-sufficient, even if I don't come right out and say it, but I am putting trust in myself, in my effort, in my works, in what I can accomplish. It puts me in a position where I can become anxious and fearful. And I have to learn to go back to the basics. Are you with me right now? And say that my faith is not in me figuring this out, me getting it done, or me accomplishing it. But my faith is believing that my God is able, that my God can accomplish it, that He can do it in me, and He can do it through me. So the opposite of faith is human effort or self-sufficiency. So the opposite of human effort, which is based in pride, the opposite of that is faith. Are you guys tracking with me right now? If I trust my effort, if I trust everything that I can try to do to clean up my life, if I'm trying to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and make it better, improve my relationships, become a better dad, improve all of these things in my life, and I'm trusting the effort and the work that I have, that's the opposite of faith. Are you listening to me right now? And so it's almost like a humbling thing. It really is a humbling thing to say, I can't get this worked out. I can't fix this. I can't put the puzzle together. Instead of trying to put the puzzle together by improving this area of my life and trying to quit this and trying to clean up this and stop saying this and stop going here and stop acting like that, I'm going to start believing in the power of God to do what I've already proven that I can't do. You know why a lot of people aren't saved? A lot of people don't put their faith in Jesus because it seems too simplistic. It seems too easy, and it requires them to humble themselves. You remember when, I believe his name was Naaman, who had leprosy, and he came to the prophet. The prophet said, go dip yourself in the River Jordan 7 times. And he said, I'm not going to do that. That's humiliating. That's simplistic. But all he had to do was to obey and put his confidence in the word of the prophet, and he would be saved. And I want to tell you today that instead of getting so complicated with it and trying to figure it out and stretch yourself so thin and getting frustrated and fearful and anxious about your failed efforts, at a certain point, you got to say, I put my trust in what Jesus has done on the cross. That's what faith is. This is faith. Now, what does the word faith mean? Now, just for clarity's sake, I always qualify myself. The opposite of human effort is faith. But we're not talking about laziness. We're not talking about not doing anything. We're talking about what are you trusting in? What are you leaning into? Where have you put your confidence? So what does the word mean? You know, there's a wide variety of meanings. We hear the word faith all the time. Politicians use it to talk about religion or a person's value system. There's a generic meaning that simply means to believe in something. If you have faith in something, you believe or you put your confidence in it. So that means if somebody has broken confidence, we would say they're unfaithful. And I remember Tiger Woods asking America, I want you to believe in me again. Put faith in me again. But the greater definition of faith that most of us relate to is a person's commitment to a religion or a philosophy of divinity. So there's people whose faith is in Buddhism or Christianity or Islam or Hinduism. So their faith is that they believe that this is truth, that they believe that this is how they can be saved. They believe that this is the right way to live. But I want to tell you, in the Word of God, in the Bible, there is tremendous importance put on believing and putting your faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Through faith, verse 3 says, "We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear." So in this passage of Scripture, we see that faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for, what you're believing for, and what you are hoping for. It also says that the elders, those people in the Bible, those people of faith in Scripture, were defined not because they were greater men than the other men, but because they had faith. They believed in God. And that's what set the elders apart. And it also says that faith is the key to us understanding creation and why we're even on this planet to begin with. All of this is based on our belief and our faith in God. And as you go down another couple verses in verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." You can't put the pieces of the puzzle together. You can't give enough money. You can't be nice enough to everybody. You cannot be religious enough to please God. Can I get that through to you right now? Without believing God, it's impossible to please God. Without leaning into Him and putting your trust in Jesus, you cannot please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He rewards them that diligently seek Him. There's got to be something in your spirit that says, "I believe that God exists, and I believe that when I worship Him, He responds to it. When I cry out to Him, He responds to it. When I pray to Him, He hears me. When I press into His presence, that He's going to respond to it. He rewards those who seek Him." That's the foundation of my belief in Jesus Christ. But here's what defines the critical nature of faith. When I say critical nature, I mean it's absolutely essential. The word impossible. It says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You can't be right with God without faith. You can't live for God without faith. You can't be an overcomer without faith. You can't make it through the pandemic without faith. You can't make it through 2020 without faith. Let me remind you, we're getting back to the basics right now. Some of you are getting all tripped up in trying to figure things out and philosophy. Let me get you back to the basics. Without faith, none of that's going to work. But with faith, it's possible to please God. It's possible to be right with God. It's possible to be an overcomer. It's possible to get to January 1st, 2021 and still be victorious if you believe in God, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Believing is a necessary element to pleasing God. Believing is an essential element to being saved, as opposed to trying to be a good person. I've heard it before. You've heard it. You've heard the sentiment. People that are like, I'm a good person, I'm decent, not perfect, but I wouldn't hurt another person. I try to take care of my family. Look how much they love me. I'm a good dad, I'm a good mom, etc. But, I'm just not concerned about religion. I'm not concerned about that God stuff. And surely, as God looks down on me and compares me with this dude over here, who's like abusive to his family and irresponsible and addicted to all these things, surely when He looks at me, He will see that I'm a good person and it's going to be enough. Listen to me. This is what we preached last week. The Bible is crystal clear. Absolutely no ambiguity that you are not saved by these things. You cannot be saved by being a good person. You can't be a good enough husband or a good enough wife or a faithful enough person to religion to be saved. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 and 6, our righteousness are like filthy rags. Everything that we try to do to impress God or to measure up or to earn his favor, it looks like filthy, nasty rags to him. But the Bible says when we put our faith in Jesus, when we believe him, he gives us his righteousness. So as we read earlier, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what makes that, what's cool about that? You think about that passage? We're all in here together. There's a lot of different backgrounds in here. A lot of different histories and stories. Some people were raised in church. Some people weren't. Some people were raised in church and walked away from God. Some people got addicted to certain things. Other people didn't. Some people have had financial success. Other people haven't. Some people have succeeded in education. Other people haven't. Some people know a lot about the Bible. Other people don't know that much. Some people have a high IQ. Some people don't have a high IQ. But the Bible says it's not of works, which would be determined by all of those factors that we just mentioned, but it is by faith. Amen? And so that means nobody can boast, because all of us are on even footing at the foot of the cross. We were all sinners. None of us were saved. All of us were filthy, like filthy rags. But his righteousness has put every single one of us, regardless of our past. Woo! Come on, somebody ought to get excited. Regardless of our history, regardless of our failures, regardless of our inconsistencies, we're on even ground, and nobody can boast, because we're not saved by works, but we're saved by faith. I wonder if somebody could praise Jesus right now, because we're here because of the cross. We're here because of what Jesus did. And so can they come from that area and that area because of the cross. They don't have to know the Bible. They don't have to know about Jesus. They don't have to have a good background. But they can put their faith in Jesus just like you did. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We access God's saving grace through faith. That's how we get a hold of it. But without faith, our situation is hopeless. Now I want to just real quickly look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. Because this is a powerful thing. There's power to access God's resources when we believe God. And it's simple as that. We put our faith in the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 20 says, behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him around, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Why? Because she believed in Jesus. And she believed him so much that he said, if I can just touch him. She didn't have any teaching for there was no precedent for that. People say, hey, if you touch his clothes, you can be saved. But she had so much faith in Jesus, who he was, that she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And because she believed Jesus, and because she declared it, the Bible says, when she touched him, she was made whole. And Jesus said, you know what did it? It was your faith. It wasn't my garment, but it was your faith that has made you whole. And I want to tell you, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in his name, if you believe in his power, you can be made whole too. Oh, somebody praise the Lord with me right now if you believe it. Go down about three verses to verse 27 in Matthew 9. It says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye, or do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe it. I believe, Jesus." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. They come to Jesus and they're blind. They get into the presence of Jesus. "What do you want me to do? We want to see. Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "We believe, Jesus. We believe that you're able. We believe that you can do it. We believe in who you are. We believe in who you say you are." And Jesus said, "Well then, if you believe according to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. And I want to tell you that when Jesus was on the planet, and then after Jesus ascended, there were still miracles that happened in the name of Jesus when people believed. And I'm standing out here under the old-fashioned tent telling you tonight that if you need a healing in your body, if you believe in Jesus, then you shall receive according to your faith. Oh, somebody believe with me right now. It's still happening. Jesus is still healing blinded eyes. Jesus is still delivering from sickness and disease and pain. I want somebody to hear me right now. Somebody needs to believe the word of the Lord. You don't have to keep living like that. You don't have to keep struggling with that. But you need to believe. I believe. I just feel like something good's about to happen. Anybody feel that way? Come on, if you believe that, just begin to express that in your spirit. Lord, I just feel somebody's going to get a miracle tonight. Somebody's going to get deliverance tonight. Amen. Somebody that's been struggling with a new addiction, God's about to break the chains and set you free. If you believe according to your faith, He can transform you. He can take that taste out of your mouth. Come here, Enrique. Come on up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, come on, somebody. We got to praise the Lord right now. Hey, man, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I just want to, I know the Holy Ghost has been burning inside of you. God's doing something in you. And how many months ago was it when I visited you in the hospital?
January 23rd.
We got a call, and Enrique was in the hospital, and they found out he'd had a stroke, right? Heart attack? What else? That's enough right there, isn't it? A young fellow like this, young whippersnapper, heart attack and stroke, and part of it because of the life he was living, right? The addictions and the things you've been struggling with in your life. And he was at death's door. In fact, they weren't sure if he was going to make it. We went and prayed with him and couldn't talk, really communicate. But your wife could read your eyes and tell me what you were thinking. And so she did the translating for me. Amen. But and then after you get out of the hospital, we go into COVID and can't come to church. And several weeks later, when we first saw Enrique, he's like, "Pastor Brown, I'm a brand new man. Everything has changed. I've been delivered. I've been set free. For the first time in my life, I'm completely set free." And I want to tell somebody right now that by faith in Jesus' name, the story of Enrique's life, which is just beginning, the new Enrique can happen in this community, in lives out here, out there. I'm just going to declare it and preach it right now to the city of Covina that if you put your faith in Jesus, He can take and make you new. He can deliver you from whatever's got you bound. He can give you a new life. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's rejoice with my brother right now. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Let your faith go. God's still in the miracle working business. He's still in the transforming business. Woo. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Enrique. You can be seated just for a moment. I'm bringing this to a close right now. So miracles, healing for your physical body, deliverance. We're back to the basics right now. I'm not coming to give you some magic formula or some deep principle from the Word of God. It's back to the basics. If you believe, you shall receive. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe the Word of God, you believe the message of Scripture, you're like, yeah, Pastor, but this happened 10 years ago, or 6 years ago I struggled with this, or I prayed and this didn't happen. Somewhere along the way, you got to shake that off and not let the residue of disappointment, because sometimes God's timing and His plan's different, but we still have to believe that what God promised He can perform, and believe that God is able. Hallelujah. So tonight, as we bring this to a close, you can stand to your feet right now. What is it that we're to believe? What do I have to believe? What do I need to believe? First of all, you have to believe. The Bible makes it plain that you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, which means God manifest in the flesh. God revealed to humanity. You can't believe that He's just a teacher and be saved. You can't believe that He was just a good moral man that had a lot of great principles to be saved. You have to believe that He was God in flesh. And when you believe Jesus is God in flesh, then you understand that His sacrifice on the cross has the power to save you. If you believe He was just a good, compassionate man that died on the cross, then there's no power to save. But when you believe that Jesus was God, something begins to shift in your whole demeanor. And how you think about Jesus, you got to believe that He is the Son of God. You have to believe that His sinless sacrifice, when He died on the cross as the Lamb of God, that His sinless sacrifice atones for your sins once and for all. And you put all of your trust in the work of the cross. That's beautiful. We were talking about that at the waters of baptism right there. When you go down in the waters of baptism, some people say, well, it's a little humiliating, a grown person to get in the water and go down under the water. And this seems like a weird religious ritual. But the Bible makes it plain that when we do that, we're dying out to the old man. The old man says, I can figure this out. We're putting that to death. We're burying that. And we're coming out as a new creature that says, I can't do anything without Him. Because I'm no longer putting my trust in my ability to straighten my life out and figure the answers out. But now I'm putting all of my trust in what Jesus did on the cross. And going forward, my life is going to be shaped by the fact that I'm grateful that Jesus paid it all. So I don't have to come up with a down payment. Jesus paid it all. We put our trust and we believe. You got to believe that He's forgiven you when you repent of your sins. Somebody here tonight, let me just say this. You've been carrying condemnation. That means guilt, shame about some things that you've done, the way you've lived, the decisions you've made. And you've been carrying it, and it's heavy, and it's depressing you. I want to tell you right now, this is where faith comes in. Because what the Bible says to you, that if you ask the Lord to forgive you, that He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And guess what? If God thinks well of me, I don't care what anybody else thinks of me. Except for my wife and babies right there. I don't worry what man thinks. I worry what God thinks. So you don't have to be cocky, but you can walk with your head held high. Because you know that no matter what you've done, if you've asked God to forgive you, the only one that matters doesn't even remember it anymore. Come on, somebody. You got to get a hold of this. But this is faith operating in your spirit. Because I've seen people before. Is this plain enough now? I've seen people before come and repent of their sins, cry, ask God to forgive them, and they get up and they walk out and they're still depressed. You know why they're depressed? Because they don't believe. If they believed that God was forgiving them, they would get up with a different demeanor. What is that belief called? It's called faith. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross and that the cross of Jesus and the blood of Jesus will wash your sins away, when you ask God to forgive you, if you ask in faith, when you get up, you're like, oh my God, this feels great. This feels awesome. I'm a new creature. I'm not guilty anymore. You got to believe that he's forgiven you. Believe that he washed your sins away at baptism. And last of all, you got to believe that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John chapter 7, I know you're standing, I'm coming to a close here, 7:37. It says this, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth, do you see that word, believeth? He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And John parenthetically inserts here, he was speaking here of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. At that point, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Those that believe on him should receive. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that when they were all in one place, in one accord, they were waiting for the promise of God where he had said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. You'll receive the promise of the Father. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come to you again in the form of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be with you. That means when you go to bed tonight, you're not by yourself anymore. And when you wake up tomorrow, you're not by yourself anymore. When you get stressed out tomorrow, you're not by yourself anymore. Why? Because his spirit is in you. I'm talking to somebody right now that what you need is the baptism of the Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I will not leave you comfortless. I'll send another comforter to you. When they received the Holy Spirit, they were all filled, the Bible says, and they began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And listen to me right now. Nobody was out there on the side teaching them what to say. They weren't like, if you want the Holy Ghost, repeat after me. Untie my bow tie. Who stole my Honda? Come on. Sell him a Honda and buy a Yamaha. Don't pass the Kawasaki. Amen. You got it. Praise God. They weren't doing that. It was a language that the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. That the Spirit of God came upon them. And they began to cry out to God and pray, and stammering lips and another tongue begin to be the manifestation that they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you that Peter said this promise is for you and your children and those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hey, it said taste and see. If you're thirsty, taste and see. What does that mean? If you're dissatisfied with your life, taste and see. If you're disappointed with your life, taste and see that the Lord is good. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That means out of you is going to flow. Amen. The Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost. So you're like, okay, how do we do it? Real simple. He that believes shall receive. So if you're here tonight, you may say, well, man, I need to go home and try to get my act together first. You heard that before? Man, I better quit this. I better put this away. I better straighten this up before I can come and repent and give my life to the Lord. Listen to me. They used to say it this way. You don't get good so you can go get God. That's works. That's like, let me get the puzzle put together, then let me go ask God. No. You'll never get the puzzle together. Anybody got a witness in the house? Number one, you'll never get the puzzle together. And number two, God doesn't want you to put the puzzle together. He wants to put the puzzle together. And so you've got to go to God to get good. Are you with me right now? You've got to go to God to get good. And how do you do it? You just have to believe that if there is a promise in the Word of God that it says, if I'll repent, he'll fill me with the Holy Ghost. If I'll give him my life, he will fill me with the Holy Ghost. If you believe, you're going to receive. It's that simple. If you believe, you shall receive. Well, praise God. When I was a little boy, I received the Holy Ghost when I was 10 years old. And I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. I've been raised around church and so forth, but I'd heard about the Holy Ghost. I'd seen people receive the Holy Ghost. I wanted to receive the Holy Ghost, and I would go up there, and I was like, maybe if I cry at least 7 or 8 tears, God will give me the Holy Ghost. Or maybe if I pray for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, God will give me the Holy Ghost. Or maybe if I'm good for a whole week. You know what I even did? This is kind of silly. One time when I was trying to receive the Holy Ghost, I wanted to receive it, 9, 10 years of age. I took my favorite pair of blue jeans. They weren't the off-brand tough skins at my. I had a pair of Levi's back in the day, and I put them in my top drawer. And I said, "Lord, I'm not going to wear these jeans again until you fill me with the Holy Ghost." So my mom laid them out for school one day. I'm like, "Mom, I can't wear them. Why?" I told the Lord I wasn't going to wear them until I got the Holy Ghost. She's like, "Well, I wish you'd have told me first or asked me first. That's your good pair of jeans." I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. But let me tell you, the night that I got the Holy Ghost, the night that I received the Holy Ghost, we had an evangelist that was preaching much like I'm preaching tonight. Just saying, hey, this is the promise of God. If you need the Holy Ghost, and you do, if you believe, you shall receive. You'll receive it. Not maybe, not I hope so. It's his gift. He wants to give it to you. And so I remember leaving church that night, and I woke up the next morning. Back then we had service every night of the week. Can't get people out once a week now, but we had service every night of the week back in the day with the revival. And so I woke up that morning, and when I woke up in the morning, I don't know how it happened or why. All of a sudden I woke up and I was like, this is going to be an awesome day because I'm going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Not I'm going to pray for it, but I'm going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. And all of a sudden I got excited. Did you have it already? Nope. I just believed that I was going to get it. You know what? That's simple, but that's what faith is. You believe that the promise is for you and that you can receive it. You shall receive it. This is how it works. And so that night I got to church. I don't remember what the preacher preached. I don't remember any of the songs. I just remember thinking, man, I hope this service gets over soon so I can go to the front because I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when they made the altar call, I was the first one out. I jumped up right to the front. I lifted my hands up and began to praise the Lord. And in less than 2 minutes, I was began to speak in tongues, one or two words. And then it began to flow like a river out of my belly. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost as a 10-year-old boy for the first time. And I want to rejoice today and say that I didn't have to figure things out. I didn't have to have a lot of knowledge about Scripture. I just had to believe that it was for me. And it's for you. It's for your children. It's for them too. So we're going to make an altar call right now. For those of you that need a healing in your physical body, you need deliverance from fear or anxiety. The devil's been messing with you and you've been falling for the bait and you need deliverance tonight. If you've never received also the baptism of the Holy Ghost that we were speaking about and you want to receive God's free gift, the power of the Spirit to go with you and to give you a brand new life. You can receive that experience tonight. And as our team begins to sing, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to ask for those. Brother Francisco can help me. Brother Nathan, whoever. Brother Art. We're going to lay hands by faith on you in Jesus' name. We're going to put our masks on. We're going to keep distance. But we're going to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. And we're going to pray for a miracle. And according to your faith, you shall receive what God has promised to you. Come on now. You shall receive. So as they start to sing, we're going to step back and there's plenty of room. Come up here and we're going to believe with you and we're going to pray for you in the name of Jesus, and his power is going to be released on you right now.
Can I just say real quickly, I just felt this in the Holy Ghost and I'm just going to put it out there, but the Lord spoke to me and said you need to call for the families of the church that have children to bring them down here. It's time for them to receive the Holy Ghost. You need to make coming to the altar. Every time we go to church, we go and we pray. Every time we go to church, we get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we've got a lot of space up here, all the way around here. If you feel comfortable, bring your kids, your teenagers, say we're going. We're going to get filled up with the Holy Ghost again tonight. Amen. God wants to start moving in your kids. God wants a revival in your family. Let's believe him for it tonight in Jesus' name.
Where would I be without you? love.